You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Gonna take it.
Two legends in basketball analysis with over 70 years combined experience. This is the Bob Ryan and Jeff Goodman podcast.
NBA, some college, a little bit of everything.
You know, what can I say? But it wasn't going to happen here with him. I was okay with it because it wasn't about talent, I didn't think.
All right, let's get right to it.
It's time for the Bob Ryan, Gary Tagway podcast right here on CLNS Media. And Prize Picks is the exclusive daily fantasy partner of CLNS Media. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Prize Picks. Bob, we got a lot of work to do. I want to start and I want to talk about the Denver Hex. Or is there a Hex? It's just two games, but fill in the rest for me.
Well, the fact is that you are trying to catch Denver, not the other way around. I don't care what the record of wins losses is. Denver right now is 44-20. Celtics are 49-14. But we know Denver's had some issues of injury, and they proved last year they know how to get it done. We have a constant theme that will not change until it changes, and that is the Celtics have not proven they know how to get it done. They've proven they know how to win regular season games sometimes by as many as 50 points. They've set a record this year. No team has ever won three games by 50. We know that they have this potency, but that these aren't the games that determine your destiny. So Denver's better, and until proven otherwise. They've beaten them twice this year legitimately, once by two at home, and then once by having a better finishing stretch than the Celtics had in their own place. Jokic is a remarkable player. He's absolutely a remarkable player. And so that's all. The Celtics have something to prove. Which actually is good. They have no reason to rest on any laurels yet because they're going to win 60, and that's going to be nice. And they're going to have the number one seed in the East, and that's going to be nice. But that's all. Denver, respect Denver. That's all. Now the West is really wild. I mean, right now, two games in the loss separate four teams: OKC, Minnesota, Denver, and the Clippers, who I want to talk about. But at one point. So that's all. I mean, the Celtics have something to prove. And specifically, you know, we're talking about the two guys, the two All-Stars. And specifically, we're talking about the number one All-Star, who once again gave ammunition to his critics by his performance.
15 points in the second game against Denver, really struggled. And,
yes.
You know, you have to sit back and you have to wonder a little bit. I mean, I'm glad you're looking on the bright side because I'm trying to look on the bright side. It's two games during the regular season. It certainly gives them something to shoot for the postseason, because if they play them again, it's going to be in the finals.
Yes.
We know the finals will be a different story. But the one thing that does worry me is when you mentioned Jokic, 32 points, 12 rebounds, 11 assists, zero turnovers. Huh. And the plays that he's so smart, Bob.
Yes.
He's so smart. He's so fun to watch. If you love basketball, my mouth just hits the floor when this guy is out there. He makes the right pass. He's fundamentally sound. He can do whatever he wants on the basketball floor.
He is, man, there's a level of efficiency that very, very few ever attain and for even a brief period of time in a game. And I call it mastery of the game. Larry reached that point in the mid-80s. And and they're very they're very complementary in with an E on if you think about it. And Jokic is there right now, and what I love about him is he does it at his pace. You know, nobody can stop him from going where he wants to go. You mentioned, as you pointed out, no turnovers. Nobody took the dribble away from him. You know, no little guy sneaked in. And, he doesn't allow those things to happen. He is a basketball PhD, and he's 7 feet tall, and he makes threes, and he throws passes that no one else in the league sees. And no, he's a remarkable player. And if you lose to him, you know, that c'est la vie, you know?
There's oh, no I hear you. Ever. I mean, oh, I know. So dare we say we understand. I'm just talking about watching the player here for the people, you know, consuming our product here today.
Yeah.
Watching the player, rings aside, trophies aside, is Jokic as good as Magic Johnson and Larry Bird?
He said, yes. And the answer is, just, you know, we have these discussions. I don't see any reason. How much proof do we need?
I agree with you, Bob. I mean, but that doesn't – now we could get into the whole argument about LeBron and Michael, and that's another – I don't know if I'm there yet, but, boy, I don't think it's an insult to Bird or Magic to say that this guy is as good as they are.
No, but first of all, yeah, I mean, they're all – you know, three different, well, there's two different sizes there. Dyrian Magic were in 6'9 range, and he's right. 7 feet. But he's a modern, he's the ultimate modern gold standard of what the game has evolved into, thanks to the three. And now we have a guy, you know, actually, it's funny because I'm thinking on the fly here, the description of Arvydas Sabonis that was given to me after we finally laid eyes on him. They said, you should have seen him at age 17 or 18. He was Bill Walton with a three. Well, guess what? Jokic is Bill Walton with a three.
Right.
And that means he's one of the two best passing centers we've ever seen. And because Walton was the gold standard, that this guy's right there with him. So that's what he is. And that's where the game is. There are guys like that. And Bird and Magic did their thing, and they would be perfectly wonderful in this game today. There's no question. Larry would shoot more threes and score more points because that's the way the game is, and that's fine. But it's like when we have these discussions about all time, and I've already said, Garrett, that we're going to have to make room on this list for some people that are playing right now.
Right.
That we the standard top 10. It's going to be a lot different in 2030 than it was in 2020. I can tell you that because there's going to have to be room for this guy. It's going to have to be room for Doncic. There's going to have to be room for maybe Durant. You know, I don't want Durant doesn't get maybe the total approbation he deserves sometimes.
Well, I mean, look, Durant was great in the game against the Celtics. The Celtics showed some maturity. They bounced back. They held off Phoenix. Phoenix was down a guy, but so went the Celtics. But they had Porzingis out. So I say that evens out. Yeah. Durant's a great player. I just feel bad. You know, I've said it before. The Nets situation hurt his legacy, which I feel terrible about. But let's go to the Celtics. And then I also want to give some props to Luka. But quick, I mean, the Celtics did what they had to do against Phoenix. They bounced back. Oh, my God, they lost two in a row. Oh, stop the presses. But then they go into Phoenix against Durant. And as you said, the Wild Wild West, formidable opponent. And you know, Tatum found his mojo in the second half, and they did what they had to do, which is a great sign of maturity.
You know what I liked about last night? That my personal favorite takeaway was Luke Kornet.
Yeah,
Porzingis didn't play. Mm-hmm. Kornet inherited his role more or less. You know, at least the playing time of the big guy, and came through with a wonderful game. And I've been saying all year he's underrated. He's not a big white stiff. He's not a big stiff. Now, I used to have a category, Garrett, 20 years ago, a BWSs, and there was one on most every team, and big white stiff that was there, you know, because that's what you did for a backup center. And, you know, we had one in Greg Kite, and he had his values at the time, too. So, but he's not that. He's better than that. He's better. He's a nice quality backup to have. And he said, I'm glad he's around. And last night, you were definitely glad he was around. So that was my takeaway last night. By the way, in terms of three-game losing streaks, which they have not had this year, I must point out a historical fact that people should know about an era in the Celtic history that is starting to be forgotten, by, which is the 70s. I don't know how many people are aware that there was a point in the 1970s, from roughly 72, 73 into 75. I remember when it happened, when they lost a game at home to the 76ers with George McGinnis. It snapped a run of 271 games in which they had never lost three in a row.
Wow.
So we're talking about this year's team has not lost three in a row, and it's exemplary if you can go through a season with only a two-game losing streak. But think of that, how consistently great that team was.
Yeah, I mean, that's four seasons.
207. I know
207. I'm sorry, 207.
71. 271.
Yeah, that's
271 games stretch, never losing three in a row.
Yeah, it's four seasons.
That's what the 70 Celtics.
That's incredible.
I want to point that out.
Well, I'm glad you did. Football season may be over, but the action on the floor is heating up. Whether it's a tournament season or the fight for a playoff home court, there's no shortage of high-stakes basketball moments this time of year. Get in on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into serious cash. Testing my skills on Prize Picks this season is the most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. If you have the skills, you can turn $10 into $1,000 with just a few taps. Prize Picks is really simple to play, and I can make my picks and submit my entry in less than 60 seconds. Download the app today and use code CLNS for a first deposit match up to $100. Use the code CLNS for the first deposit match up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. before we get to the Clippers, I do want to give credit to Luka in Dallas, 39-10. He has six consecutive 30-point triple-doubles. That is a new record. He broke his own record and Russ Westbrook's.
Yes. It's. I mean, these guys are wonderful. He's wonderful. And these two middle Europeans have brought something wonderful to the game. They're exactly the same in the regard, except for size. Yeah. Jokic is 7'8" and Doncic is about 6'7", 6'8". But he too, like Doncic, goes wherever he wants to go at his pace. It's not 78, it's not 45, it's 33. he goes at his pace and nobody stops him and prevents him from doing what he wants to do. These guys have mastered the game offensively. Doncic is not noted for his defense. I will grant you that. And Jokic, you know, as a 7-footer, can block shots. But he's no Rudy Gobert, you know, or anything like that.
Right.
But so it's loft. It's headed. It's on the offense. But these guys have mastered the game on offense, and they're a pleasure. I mean, they're absolutely a pleasure to watch, and they make the game look so logical, which of course Larry did too, in his way. He made the game look very logical.
Sure. So let's get to the Clippers right now. So regardless of the seedings, and Minnesota just suffered an injury now. Towns is going to be out for a month. So regardless of the seedings, you have to look at Denver's the number one threat out of the West. Do you put the Clippers number two?
I would now, particularly with the Towns thing. Now, I know that the metrics people are pointing out that Towns' value was overrated in terms of the metrics and his effect on their actual winning, that they may survive better than you think. We'll see. I'm open to suggestion here. I'm not going to contradict them. I'm going to see how this plays out. But and OKC, you know, they keep plodding along with doing what they've been doing for the beginning of the year. We got to give them their. But I still think Denver's the team to beat. But the Clippers, you know, when those three guys are actually showing up together, you know, when Leonard's not hurt or George isn't hurt.
Yep.
And now that Harden, you know, he had another a solid triple-double again last night, you know, as much as I don't like him, I have to give him credit. He's making me making me unlike him less. How's that this year? And they're going to be. I can't see the end point where they won't be heard from. I think they're going to be heard from. And we know the Tykin coach. So the West, it's going to be really interesting and at the top. And I definitely think that they got a shot. I would, but I'm at least to challenge Denver. But in the end, I still think Denver, you know, is going to come out of the West.
Yeah, I think so too. I think so too. They have that experience. They have that. They've been there before. They've done
something of a pedigree. But yeah. I love having OKC, and I said I've been happy. I'm happy for everybody concerned. You know, the fans who have supported this team wonderfully since they had it dropped in their lap, and not that they should have been because Seattle got screwed, but that these people have done justice to the franchise, and the coaching staff and the way they're playing ball. It's really I'm happy for them. So I hope they can keep it going.
Yeah. Taking a look at the Celtics schedule the rest of the way.
Oh, yeah.
You mentioned the Clippers. They got smoked by the Clippers, and they've lost twice to Denver. So I just take note of that as we look down the road.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Schedule the rest of the way.
19 left, okay? 9 home, 10 on the road. A very odd schedule in the sense that there is a 6-game road trip left on their schedule, including a 2 games in Atlanta, a back-to-back in Atlanta, something the league has revived after 50 years. I don't remember this happening. I once covered the Celtics in a back-to-back in Houston in like 1972 or one or the other. And then I don't know what – this is the second time I heard this. So they're playing – but they have a road trip coming up. It's going to be it's not a killer bunch of opponents. I'll grant you that. It's Detroit, Chicago, Atlanta, New Orleans, Charlotte. But a 6-game road trip still left. And then they end the season with a 3-game home stretch, including the Knicks, and who knows who's going to be in the lineup for them then. You know, right. If you were playing the January Knicks, I'd say, oh boy, you know, that's going to be tough. And you're playing the February Knicks, you know, big deal. We'll see who's going to be healthy.
Well, we don't know who's going to be in the lineup for the Celtics. You know,
no. And by the way, not that it's going to matter unless it's just what the final win total is going to be. They're going to end up the season at home against Washington. So that's not going to be too much to worry about.
And I hope you don't have tickets for that game because you're better off seeing the Washington Generals.
We got 2 games left on this current road trip at Portland, who had a big night last night, and at Utah, and they're capable. You know, they're a disappointment, definitely. They're one of the bigger disappointments in the league. But Mackinnon's really good, I don't take that one for granted. But let me just say one thing. I've continued to be impressed with Joe Mazzulla's public pronouncements this year that sound intelligent and logical. And I love the way, he's even keeled. I like the way he explained last night. And he said more concerns him was how the team reacts to losses rather than anything else. And this was an example. And they basically acted pretty well. Wasn't perfect, but you know, we got to stop overreacting to blowing leads, quote unquote blowing leads. This league is about ebb and flow, ebb and flow during games. Teams they're all talented players. They wouldn't be there. Guys could get hot, and suddenly your 20 point leads down to 10, and then maybe less. So I just want to say that Celtics blowing that 22-point lead against Cleveland. And things like that happen. I won't say every night, but every week, somebody's losing a monster lead.
Yeah, and look at the three. I mean, you know, everybody could shoot the three, and before you know it, your double-digit lead is not there anymore. So, of course, agreed.
And live by it and die. You know, and that's the way the league is now, and that's just the way the game has evolved. You know, I don't like it, but that's the way it is.
From a fan perspective and from a media perspective, which, as you know now, Bob, if you're in the media, it is about the now because of the immediacy of the way we communicate, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like you're tweeting during the game. I mean, it's like instant reaction or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Reporting. It's not like I'm going to write it. I'm going to file it. So the immediate reaction is there. But Denver's a big game, you know, and I think it's okay for the fans to go, man, damn it, I wish we'd sent a message. I mean, you want to beat Denver. That's the game you want to win.
Yeah,
but Mazzulla's right in how he's handling it. I mean, it's a big story when the Celtics go out and they lose to Denver again. But Mazzulla's right to handle it. It's just two games. You know, relax. It's fine. So in reality, it's probably not a big deal. But for fans,
understand.
For me, it is.
I understand. And you circle games on the calendar, and there are milestone games, and absolutely. And then you want to, you know, sure.
Especially, Bob, with what you just said, the rest of the schedule from an entertainment perspective kind of sucks. You know what I mean? I mean, seriously, like that Denver game, man, I'm okay. All in on that. I got to be home for that. And the rest of the schedule, like, man, like, let's start the playoffs now.
Well, home games. We still got home games with Milwaukee, OKC as marquee games.
Well, that's good. And, I mean, yeah.
And Phoenix, you know, if Beal's out, and, you know, and that's going to be a home game.
But Booker. Yeah.
And he's out. And that's too bad, you know. But it's not right. And otherwise, the home games include Detroit, Sacramento, Portland, New York, Charlotte, and Washington.
Yeah.
So
babysitter games.
Not a murderer's row.
Yeah, no, but I mean the Milwaukee game. You know that those are two.
Milwaukee.
It's great to see OKC. I mean, if I'm going to that game, I mean, I love the Celtics, but I'm going to see OKC. You know, I want to see those guys.
No kidding. So. So anyway, but our guys are worth the price of admission. More often than not. And one more guy I want to pay my homage to tonight before we close, and that's Pritchard. Damn, I love that kid.
Yeah.
And I how about Mazzulla citing him after last night's game for his defense, which, of course, you know, people would never think about. He's hard-nosed and tough. I'm telling you, I'm right. He is a combination of Jerry Seasting and Larry Siegfried.
Right.
He's got Siegfried's tenaciousness.
Yeah, Jerry
Siegfried. And he can shoot the ball, you know, a la Jerry with better range, you know.
Yeah.
Jerry's a remarkable mid-range shooter. And Doncic. But he squirms to every game. He gets a rebound that he shouldn't get, or makes a steal that you don't expect. Almost it's some hustle play or 50-50 diving play. Almost every night, there's something that he provides in that regard. I'm happy he's in that Celtic uniform.
I smell a column.
Yep. All right.
All right, Robert. We'll talk to you again soon, my friend. Bob Ryan, Gary Tangway, podcast brought to you by Price Picks, the exclusive daily fantasy partner of the CLNS Media Network. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy with Price Picks.